Welcome to Temple Baptist Church here in Asheville, North Carolina. Thank you so much for tuning in. I want you to get, if you have a hymn book, I want you to get a hymn book out. If you don't, I'm going to give you the hymns. We're going to sing three this evening. Glory to His name, There is Power in the Blood, and The Old Rugged Cross. Three great hymns. And if you want to look up those the lyrics of those hymns, you can. I want to give you time to do that. Let's open in a word of prayer. Lord, we love you. Thank you for this time. We can meet together in, around your word. Lord, thank you for the cross as we celebrate this week how you died for our sins and rose again. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to remember. Thank you for partaking, the opportunity to partake in salvation. Thank you for your redemption. Lord, thank you so much for all that you do. Lord, I pray that you'll bless this service. We give it to you and to honor and glorify you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
All right, I hope you are excited about these days leading up to Resurrection Sunday. Tonight we are going to be singing, as Pastor mentioned, three hymns focusing on Jesus Christ's sacrifice for us. So let's sing together as we sing Glory to His Name.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name.
All right, in addition to our hymns, we're also going to have a few specials tonight. So if our first special for tonight would come now.
Let it pass of life.
I am so thankful for the power that is in the blood of Jesus Christ, not just for a sinner to become saved, but for saints as well to conquer the power of sin in our lives. Let's go ahead and sing "There Is Power in the Blood," 362 in our hymnals if you have one there at home.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
All right, and Mrs. Chapman is now going to come at this time and sing another special for us.
Storm holds upon me, and there's no hiding place.
We don't always know when our storms will pass. Sometimes it could go on indefinitely, but I'm so thankful that we can trust in our Lord and Savior, in God, our Father, to keep us safe during the storms. We're going to sing one more hymn this evening before Jeremy Jones comes and sings for us. We're going to sing the Old Rugged Cross, so go ahead and sing along in your home there with me as we sing.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
There's a lighthouse on a hillside, and it overlooks life's sea. And when I'm tossed, it sends out a light that I might see. And it's the light that shines in the darkness now, and it will safely lead me home. And if it wasn't for the lighthouse, my ship would be no more. So I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him, for Jesus is the lighthouse, and from those rocks of sin He has shone His light all around me, that I might clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be? Now everybody that lives around me, they say tear that old lighthouse down. The big ships don't sail this way anymore, there's no use in it standing round. But then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time I saw the light. It was the light from that old lighthouse that stands up there on a hill. So I thank God for the light. White House. I owe my life to him, for Jesus is the lighthouse, and from those rocks of sin, he has shone his light all around me, that I might clearly see. And if it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be? Yes, if it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be?
All right. Good evening. Trust all of you have enjoyed a lot of the special music and the singing tonight, and hope that's a blessing to you and your family. Trust all of you are doing well. Let me remind you, if there are prayer requests, if there are needs that we as a church family need to know about, please contact one of the church staff, one of the deacons. We don't always know maybe if someone's having a health issue or if some kind of unspoken need, but we'd like to be able to mention that during these times of prayer. And in just a second, I'm going to mention several prayer requests, and then we'll have a time of prayer before Pastor comes and opens the Word of God. But let me mention this, with this Sunday being Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, and maybe a little bit different of an Easter Sunday since we'll be at home, but let me encourage you to maybe something not just fun, but also something to be a blessing. Let me encourage you to maybe dress your family's dressing up for Sunday or Easter Sunday, or dress out in your Sunday best. If you'll do that, let me encourage you to take a picture of your family. If you're having a Sunday service or you're all decked out, maybe the girls or ladies are wearing your Easter dresses, and men, maybe you're in a suit. You do whatever your family like to do, but take a picture of your family and send it to Pastor, myself, one of the church staff, and maybe we'll make a collage, put that on our church page, Facebook page, and I think folks would enjoy seeing how the different families in the church are doing the Lord's Day, especially on Easter. I think that'd be a fun thing, and I want to encourage you to do that. Well, there's many things to pray about, and we've mentioned some last week and throughout the week, and again, if you have needs, please let us know. Let me just mention several here that you can pray for tonight or throughout the week. Continue to pray for Richard Carr. This would be one of our faculty members, Miss Lisa, our fifth and sixth grade teacher here at Temple. This is her husband, Richard. Many of you have been praying for him. He is home, but he's got about a six-week recovery, it looks like, for the accident that he had. Had some tendon issues and some surgery done on his ankle and his leg, and so it's going to be a recovery time for him. Maybe out of work, obviously. So please pray for Richard Carr and Lisa. They live down in South Carolina. Many of you have asked about my dad just when I see you, so let me real quick throw that in here. Appreciate many of you who prayed for my dad. My parents are back home in Pennsylvania. Dad's doing pretty good. I'd call him stable. Not able to get into the doctor right now, specialist due to all the virus, but he was out today driving, and his eyes are pretty good, he said. His strength is decent, but still not out of the woods yet, but he is doing well. Thank you for many who prayed for him. Let's continue to remember Miss Gladys Ayer's sister, as she's had quite a bit of health issues. Let's remember Brother Van Smith. Many of you know Brother Van, also just dealing with some different health issues that has been plaguing him for a while. I certainly want to continue to pray for America. You've been doing that, I hope, every afternoon, has been mentioned several times by Pastor and throughout this time of virus. But pray for America. Pray for President Trump. Pray for Vice President Mike Pence. Pray for locally here in North Carolina, our Governor Roy Cooper, and then those here in Buncombe County, especially, and different ones that make these decisions. Continue to pray for our Temple Baptist School faculty. All of our students and parents and families now going on to now several weeks now at home. And those first few weeks might have been fun or maybe exciting. And this week maybe more spring break, Easter break. But as time goes on and we're not sure what happens, it can be a little more challenging for students and parents and teachers. So please pray. Pray by name. Pray by family, by student, to ask God to really help those families, encourage and strengthen them during this time. Remember our missionaries, as we mentioned on Sunday. Remember our missionaries all throughout America, America, all throughout the world. Many of them are on lockdown, some of these countries. I was reading a letter the other day that they're not allowed to go more than 250 meters out of their house. Some of them, the police are actively, you've got to stay at home unless it's an emergency, unless it's just for groceries. They don't want you going anywhere. So we don't have that quite yet here in America. So many of them, it's a little bit more difficult for them. Pray for some of our missionaries. You may remember some of our news missionaries who are on deputation. Many of the deputation, that's been canceled. They're not able to do meetings. They're not having any way to get finances. They're probably a little discouraged, perhaps, wishing to get on the mission field, but this has been delayed. Pray for our evangelists, as we mentioned. Many of them don't have meetings at this time. Pray for our Christian colleges, especially some of our small colleges, that finances is a big challenge. Pray for our Christian camps. Many of our camps use retreats and have different camp outings throughout the year that right now these are all postponed, and it's a challenge. They may have staff that they're having to pay, and the money's not coming in. So a lot of different groups and organizations that we can pray for as a church family by name. Encourage your family to do that. And again, if there are other needs and special things that we need to know about, please text or email or call one of the church staff so that next time we mention prayer requests, we can mention these. Just before we go to prayer, you know, if you're talking to people or maybe you're in contact with people, someone brought this up the other day. How exactly do we pray for this? Do we ask God to take away the virus, get rid of all this, and life goes back to normal? Is that really what we want? Life go back to normal? Everybody goes back to the routines and then sort of forgets about it. Do we want this to keep going? Well, of course, we know many are afflicted. Many are dying. It's sort of a tricky balance. How do we pray as a Christian for what's going on in America today? Obviously, we want God to work. We want God to his purpose to be done, and we know it will. But we also want to see revival. We want to see people turn to God. And I was reading through 2 Kings, and many of you may know this verse. 2 Kings 19:19, Hezekiah was praying to the Lord, and listen to his prayer. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. You know, to me, that's probably the best way that we can pray. Lord, use this virus, use the thing going around the world, yes, for people to be saved, churches to be strengthened, families to be strengthened, for people to turn to God, but ultimately, that the entire world would look and recognize that there is a God, it's the God of the Bible, and that they would know that God and recognize that God and come to know him as personal Lord and Savior, repent of their sin if necessary. So let's pray that God will use this virus, these unusual times, for his honor and glory. May we do our part in sharing the gospel if we talk to lost people. May we not shy away from reading the scriptures and saying we know what God is doing, but I want to encourage you and your family to be praying. I hope you'll pray tonight as a family. Now I'm going to pray. Now I'm not going to try to remember all these prayer requests. I'm not going to make it a lengthy prayer, but I hope that you and your family will spend some time in prayer tonight and certainly each afternoon. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, that we can spend this time as a family, I hope, Lord, watching the broadcast, listening to it. Lord, feeling connected as we see folks in the church singing. I hope our hearts were encouraged and challenged and uplifted by the music, Lord, both the hymns and the special music. Lord, I pray that we would be singing as a family. We'd be praising the Lord as a family. We'd be writing down prayer requests and, Lord, writing down when they're answered that we can look back maybe as a family one day and say, wow, look at all that God did. We can be keeping a journal perhaps of praises, ways that we can thank you, Lord, and things that you've accomplished even during these several weeks maybe of being at home or not in school or maybe temporarily laid off, that we can rejoice in seeing how you've worked. Lord, I pray that we'd keep a list of our missionaries and friends and evangelist friends and those on deputation, our colleges, our camps, Christian organizations, Lord, that may depend on many of these things that are postponed and canceled. Lord, that we would pray, maybe even contact them, Lord, through an email, go on their webpage and let them know specifically we're praying for them. Lord, we certainly pray now for our country, America. Lord, we pray for our president, President Trump, Vice President Pence, and different leaders of different areas, Lord, that are having to do with this, Lord. I imagine the stress they're under, Lord, as they are up every day getting updates and Lord, the health experts and making decisions. And, Lord, our governors of our different states. And, Lord, they're under a lot of pressure. I don't know how many know you as Savior. Lord, we certainly pray that all of our leaders would be born-again Christians, would acknowledge you, Lord, and if not, that they would come to know you through this, that, Lord, as they're stripped aside of all the other things and realize we're helpless, there's nothing we can do, what do? That they would turn to you in prayer. They would open the Word of God, Lord, probably have a Bible laying around. Maybe they hadn't been open for a while. Lord, maybe a Christian friend or a coworker would drop them a track or a pamphlet. They'd read it and say, all right, Lord, I'm going to come to you and ask you for help. And Lord, we thank you that you are always available. Lord, we do pray that through this test that our country and the world is going through, this trial, this difficulty, Lord, that eyes would be turned to you, the word of God would be opened, the truth would be known. Lord, that people would come to you and recognize and realize that you're God and God alone. You're sovereign. You're almighty. You can do this, Lord. You can help us. Lord, we call out to you. We repent. Acknowledge, Lord, our sins and call out to you, Lord, and realize how far many of us have strayed from your word. Lord, we pray that you would accomplish your purpose and your will, what that ultimately is, Lord. Churches would be strengthened through this, Lord. Families and homes would be strengthened. Things that, Lord, needed to be left aside would be discarded, Lord, replaced with proper things, good things, godly things. Lord, I pray that you would be with our church family. Lord, I pray that our older folks would be in good health. I pray, Lord, there wouldn't be any emergencies that would cause them to have to go to hospitals, urgent care. Lord, we know many of those facilities are, Lord, very busy with the virus and testing. And we pray that you would keep our church family healthy, if it's your will. And Lord, if someone does contact this virus, Lord, that it would be a mild case, that you would allow them to get over it and be okay. Lord, we certainly pray that, Lord, you would be with our missionaries around the world. Thank you for their faithfulness. Some of them, Lord, maybe it hasn't really affected them. Others of them, Lord, as we mentioned, not able to leave the home very much, not can't go very far, not able to really do much other than what we're doing, broadcasting and video and audio and using social media. Lord, we do thank you for the technology that you've allowed mankind to develop. Lord, we have social media that we can watch the service at home, that we can communicate with others around the world. And Lord, that is a blessing. May we take advantage of that. Use it for good and for your honor and glory. Lord, be with the camps and the colleges and these different programs that depend on support and retreats and different programs. Lord, meet their needs. May they see you, Lord, just meet them in a special way as God's people. Lord, you may burden certain people to pray and to give, to meet financially. Thank you, Lord, for your provision. Lord, we pray for our church family. Brother Van, certainly having some health challenges. Miss Gladys's sister. Many, Lord, that are on the last prayer list that we've had. Certainly many unspoken needs, many cancer needs, Lord, many life-changing needs, Lord, many with areas of salvation, spiritual needs, family members. Lord, we'll not take time to mention that by name right now, but I pray that if we have a Wednesday night prayer list in our Bible, that we'd be able to pray for those throughout the week. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, that you are in control. Help us as Christians, Lord, not to fret, not to be nervous, not to be worried, not to panic. Lord, may we be able to look to your word. Lord, if we do get nervous and, Lord, we do feel a lot of anxiety coming on, Lord, I pray that we would stop and pray. I pray that we would open your word, the book of Psalms, find those verses that are important, Lord, that would calm us down and look to you and have the right perspective. Lord, we love you. We thank you that you are in control. We pray that you would accomplish your purpose. We pray now, Lord, through the preaching of your word tonight, may it speak to us, challenge us, encourage us. Lord, thank you that we can meet through video and audio and be part of a church family, even though we're all in our own homes. We give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Boyer and Brother Worley, and of course all those that sang for us this evening. Always a blessing to see the faces that you miss, and we miss you, we want you to come back. We want you to stay connected. I hope that you're on the phone with each other and talking to each other and connecting with each other. It's important to stay connected. We are still a body. And a body of believers, we're thankful for that. Now, we're assembling differently, but we're still a body of believers, and we thank the Lord giving us the opportunity to meet even online. We're in Psalms chapter 2, and I thought about going away from this because of the time of the week, but it really ties in to what we're going through this week, excited about celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Always excited about celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's always a special time of year. In Psalms chapter 2, and then we'll look in verse number 1. Psalm chapter 2 and verse number 1, it says, why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together. Listen to this, against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their
bands asunder, and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill. What a verse. What a transitional verse. What a great thing that is, to know that Jesus is king. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore. O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Look at verse number 6 again. Yet have I set my king upon the holy hill of Zion. That thought, my king, we'll talk about this evening. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to preach your word. Speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In this passage of Scripture, in chapter number 2 of Psalms, we see four voices. And we're going to go over those voices this evening. The first voice that we see in this psalm is the voice of the world. The voice of the world. We see in Psalms chapter 2 and verse number 1, it says, Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Okay, let's stop there for just a second. We see there's some anger here. There are some people that are stirred up with anger, and anger leads to a rage, an outburst of that anger. And so we see the heathen raging, and the people imagine a vain thing. The word vain there, empty, empty. There are people that believe in empty things. They're believing, they're thinking on these empty things. What are they talking about, Pastor Creed? If you remember our Bible study in Acts chapter 19 in Ephesus, they believed and cheered and rioted on a goddess, a false god named Diana. That's what's dealing with. There's people that imagine empty things, vain things. And let me tell you something, any little g god other than the God of the Bible is empty. And your life will be empty in serving that God. Verse 2, it says, The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. The Bible here says that there's kings that establish themselves, their ways, their standards against God, knowingly against God. That's the thought here. Rulers, they're taking counsel together against the Lord and his anointed. And here's what they're saying. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. So here's what they're saying. The voice of the world is a voice of rejection. A voice of rejection. We're going to get to this at the end of the service, but if you look in Acts chapter 4, we see Peter and John in front of these high priests and in front of these leaders who are telling them that they cannot preach another God. They cannot preach Jesus' name. And they threaten them. And then they let them go, and they come into the host of that church, and the church rejoices. And they actually, in Acts chapter 4 and verse 25 and verse 26, we'll turn there at the end, but there is they're quoting Psalms chapter 2. In their praise and in their prayer, they're quoting Psalms chapter 2. It is exactly what happened. And God is saying, There will be the heathen, and they will reign. They will rage. The people will be stuck in their imaginations of empty things. The kings of earth, they'll set themselves, and the rulers will take counsel together against the Lord and against you, the anointed. There's a rejection of God. A rejection of God. Now, I want you to understand here, there is a truth in every human being. A created being, there's a truth in every created being. And so every created being, every human being has to decide whether they believe the truth of God the Father. That God is real, and who God is, the truth about God. And there are those that say, I'm going to suppress that truth. I'm not going to believe that truth. I'm against God. And they set themselves against God. They identify themselves against God. But then we see a rebellion. It says in verse number 3, their voice, the voice of the world, is a rejecting voice. It's a rebelling voice. It says, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. You ever heard this? That Christian belief that you're in, it's enslaving you. That you are enslaved into that religion. I want to tell you this, that when you believe in God and believe on God and a relationship you have with Jesus Christ, it's not enslaving, it is freeing. It gives us the freedom. But what they're saying is we're going to get freedom from, we're going to break their bands. We're going to be free from them. We're going to be free from God. And I want to tell you this, you will not be free from God. If you do not believe on Jesus Christ, if you do not believe in the name of Jesus Christ, you're not free from the wrath of God. And we'll see that. But there's a rebellion. Proverbs 17:11 says, an evil man seeketh only rebellion. An evil man seeketh only rebellion. That's who these are. Hey, can you see even nowadays in our society the heathens that are raging? Can you see the riots that are taking place? Can you see the walks and they're speaking out against biblical principles, against the Bible, and against God? They're speaking out against churches. They're against prayer. Now, more than ever, we've ever seen this country against God and prayer and against the Word of God. The heathen still rage. They are imagining a vain thing. Kings of earth themselves and rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. They want to break the bands, break the chains they think are holding them down, enslaved. We see the voice of the world speaking in this chapter. Next, we see the voice of God. Let's look at verse number 4. He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh. Wouldn't you like to hear God laugh at this time? Wouldn't you like to see God laugh at this? The Lord shall have them in derision. What does that word derision mean? That means that they are going to be confused. Verse 5. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them, trouble them in his sore displeasure. They're in trouble. They're in trouble. You're going to be reproved. When God's speaking here, he's speaking of reproof. He's reproving them. He's letting them know, hey, you're wrong. Not just, hey, you're wrong, but you are wrong and you're in trouble. You are wrong and you're on the path to destruction. He's reproving them. And then he's speaking about the reign of the king. And this is beautiful. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Isn't that wonderful? God's chosen king, Jesus. Jesus is our king. And in Psalms chapter 7, verse 6, or Psalms chapter 2, verse 6, it says, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion, that holy hill of Zion, the highest place there in Jerusalem. He set Jesus Christ on the holy hill of Zion. What is he saying there? He's saying, okay, kings that set themselves against me, rulers that set themselves against me, the heathens that rage and the people that are rebellious, you think that you're enslaved. I want you to see something. There is a king that's higher than you. There is a king that's above you. There is a king that's more powerful than you. There is a king that is worth the worship of his people. And you're not him. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. He's Jesus. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 5, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and he shall execute judgment and justice on the earth." Something we must remember. Jesus, who was coming to save the world. Now think about this. Psalms chapter 2 is in where? It's in the Old Testament. It's embedded right there in the Old Testament. So these saints that are studying this and reading this, Jesus Christ has not yet come. But the promise of Jesus has come. And so when the promise of Jesus has come, they were taking it as truth. Now think about that. Isn't that wonderful? They were saying, okay, if God promised us the Messiah, we believe that to be truth. Now watch this, because it's important to understand the Jesus that was to come already existed at that point. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor Cream? Jesus, the Son of God, has always been. He is eternal past. He is present with us. And he will always be the Son of God, Jesus our King. Understand, we serve our King, my King. When God says that Jesus will be placed on the holy hill of Zion, we better believe Jesus is King. They believe the Messiah was coming. We believe he's coming again. Amen. Number three. There's the voice of the world speaking. There's the voice of God speaking. And then there's the voice of Christ. The voice of Christ. I want you to look at verse number 7. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me. That's all caps, Lord. Master. Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me. And I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them with pieces like the potter's vessel. We see his rule. His voice tells us about the rule and his reign. In Revelation chapter 19 and verse 15, it says, "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron." And when we look at this in Psalms chapter number 2 and verse number 7, he says, "I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." Listen to this. "Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession." Now what he's going to do? "Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron." With a rod of iron. "Then thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." There's a reckoning here. There's a reckoning here. And Psalm chapter 2 and verse 9, "Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." Every one of us, by the way, at one point in our life, by the way, we still do, we deserve this reckoning. See, we were the heathen. We were the ones in need of a Savior. And at the time when we were rebellious and we were rejecting Jesus Christ, we were cruising for a bruising. Have you ever heard that? And we were on our way to the reckoning of Jesus Christ. But then we see, number 4, there's a voice of the Holy Spirit. The voice of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse number 10. "Be wise now, therefore, O ye king. You can be broken. You can be dashed into pieces like a potter's vessel. There's a reckoning there. But then we see there's an opportunity to be wise. There's a decision that you have to make. There's a decision that you must come to. You must come to believe that God is, that there's a being that's above us, that there's an authority above us, and who God is. You must believe that Jesus Christ came for you, came to earth, robed in flesh, God Himself, Son of God, robed in flesh, suffered and died for us, and was buried and rose again. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Listen to this. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish from the way. It's very simple. You're either all in, saved. I'm repenting. I know I'm a sinner. I'm trusting in the Lord. I'm trusting in Jesus Christ because He's alive. I'm trusting in Him. He died for me, but He lives. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and you perish from the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. We see a receiving and we see a rejoicing. A receiving and a rejoicing. A receiving and a rejoicing. We see the receiving of Jesus Christ. When Jesus rode into the city on a donkey and declared Himself King of the Jews, King of the ruler, He was King of all. He was King of the Jews. He was King of all. When he pronounced Himself King, the rulers had to make a decision. The rulers had to decide whether they were going to bow down and worship Him or whether they were going to kill Him. They had to make a decision. We know the decision they made. They crucified Him. They crucified Him. Jesus is still, through the local church, announcing Himself King of Kings. The world must either accept Him and worship Him, or they will reject Him. But there's a rejoicing of those that accept Him. I love that little phrase at the end. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. In who? My King. My King. Satan is angered, but he still lives. The heathen rage, but he still lives. The people, they believe false doctrines, but Christ still lives. The kings stand against Him. They will fall because He still lives. The rulers take counsel together against Him, but He still lives. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 4. As we close out, I want to see what happened there in Acts as they come back to the fold and they praise the Lord. Listen to their praise. Acts chapter 4 and verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of Thy servant David, Psalms chapter 2, said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up. The rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For of a truth against the Holy Child Jesus, whom Thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. You see how this comes together? For to do whatsoever Thy hand and Thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto Thy servants, listen to this, grant unto Thy servants, this should be our prayer, grant unto Thy servants that with all boldness they may speak Thy word. So Pastor Creed, what does this mean? This means that the heathen still rage. This means that there are people out there that still imagine vain things. This means that kings and rulers, they set themselves and come together against God, against the Lord, and against His anointed Christ, and against the church. So what do we do, Pastor Creed? What should we do? I'll tell you one thing we can do. We can rejoice that Jesus is King. There is no ruler. There is no king. There is no president. There is nobody that has taken the throne, the crown, away from Jesus. He is King. When things look like they're out of hand, God's got them in control in His hand. Amen. We know He is our King. Lord, help us to be the saints, the Christians, the children He's called us to be. Help us to speak that word, the truth. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time. We can look in your word. That we know evil is present today. We know that there are people that are after you, your name, the press, your name, your word, attacking the local church as your agency. Lord, help us to stand strong. Help us to be close to Thee. Lord, thank You for the encouragement that You live and that You're the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Help us each day to keep that on the forefront of our minds. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.